Welcome back to Fun Town, everybody. It's Tuesday for us. It's Wednesday for you. Hey, everybody's here. I'm here. Austin's here. Jess is here. Oskay's here. But we have a very special guest, great friend of ours, monster comedian in his own right. And he's got some other stuff going on. Your guys are going to know who this is, and it's going to blow your mind that we know this guy back when. So, Brinter Hewn, everybody.
Hello. How you guys doing?
Good. Hi.
Thanks.
Good. So good to
Thanks
have
for
you.
Having me.
I just want to say, and then I'm sure everybody's got questions for you, and then we'll just shoot the shit. But I just watched your appearance on Dr. Kim and Joe McHale's podcast. What's the name of the podcast?
It's called The Darkest Timeline.
The Darkest Timeline.
And it I guess they started at beginning of the pandemic.
And Jesus Christ. I mean, you talk about someone knocking it out of the fucking park. I was pissing my pants. I literally, that's why when Oskay texted me, I'm like, shut up, Oskay, I'm trying to finish this. And then run in real quick. I mean, it was the funniest shit I think I've ever seen. It's
Thanks,
the best
Thank you.
Appearance on a podcast, or at least the funniest.
Well, until this one.
Seen.
Yeah. And it's Austin's time to shine. That's
good. So, and you're in character, but
yeah.
What I love about your character is it's Brinter Hewn. I mean, you're not, right? There's not another name, at least as you appeared on.
Yeah, it's just me, because I never expected anything to happen, so I didn't bother to change it. And now I'm just like, it doesn't matter. Nobody cares.
I think it's better because it's different. Everybody else, you know, has a character name associated mm-hmm. with the character. But now the best part of all this was watching it grow in its infancy when people thought it was real. Mm-hmm. And you were this trumped out, you know, redneck, just hillbilly that people were fucking going crazy over. You must have got death threats. I don't know what all went on. But talk about just a little bit about what it was like to finally see the light bulb go off in people's heads. Like, oh, my God, this is a comedian doing satire. And it's awesome.
I mean, it's always funny when people, you know, you mentioned death threats. I have gotten those, but I never take them seriously.
Sure.
It's never like, I don't think anybody's going to, it's hard enough to get people to come to my shows that like me. So, but yeah, it's always weird when people can watch the whole video and not realize that it's a joke and they're quoting back to me what I just said. Yeah, it's always fun. And it's, sometimes some of the videos are more or less subtle. And sometimes I'll do a video, I'm like, there's no way that anybody's ever going to think this is real. But every video, there's somebody that thinks it's real because they just don't watch or for whatever reason. So
that's what I'm always dumbfounded by, because sometimes, I mean, you really just drill it home and people just still, nope, I hate this guy. I'm like, did you even get to 15 seconds into this thing?
I'll literally have a rainbow colored don't tread on me flag in the background. And somebody will be like, this guy's an asshole. Maybe, but not for the reasons that you think I am.
My favorite part about the whole thing is you equally piss off the left as much as you do the right and expose both for the hypocrisy that they are. Mm-hmm. Like, to me, there's nothing I love more than seeing a liberal get pissed off at your shit and then seeing a Republican getting pissed off at your shit and, mm-hmm. you know, this motherfucker doesn't represent me and, you know, this kind of shit. And it's like, wow, you guys both missed the fact this is a comedian, like, doing a hilarious bit. And, I mean, I pretty much try to watch, me and my girlfriend, we watch all of them, and they just get better and better and better. And I mean, your little cough at the end is just like, fucking when you burnt those Nikes, like back during the Kaepernick shit, like that was just so good. And actually, I was going to ask you that. I was going to be like, do you have a name for your character? Like, in your, like, if he had a name, what name would he have? Or do you not want one? Because that limits you.
it's not even like a name that I would call him. I tend to call those types of guys like the a front seat philosopher. Like, they always rant in a truck, or you know, so that they're going to fix the world with their Oakleys. And, you know, but yeah, I've never really given the character a name because I didn't expect it to do anything, and that, now it just doesn't matter. Nobody cares like, anyway.
It's like Larry David, but just bigoted, pretty much.
pretty good analogy.
Well, how long ago was the first one you did?
The first one was initially when like Colin Kaepernick was taking a knee. And I did the first one, and then a year later, he got the contract with Nike. So maybe I did three or four over that first year. And then the one where I got like 8 million views off that was the burning Nikes again. But it was kind of such a bigger issue that he got a contract with Nike that second time.
Right.
Wow. Now, I want to know, at what point were you like, I got to turn off all these notifications on my views? At what point did you become such a big shot you didn't care about your phone lighting up anymore and it became more annoying than anything?
The whole just pandemic, I've had my phone on do not disturb. And that's not even like I'm getting notifications. But if I see my phone light up, then whatever I'm doing, I stop doing that and I'm doing whatever. Answering some bullshit comment and not actually focusing. So it's been nice to just have it on do not disturb and get caught up on all that stuff.
Yeah. I do love when you feature comments that people make calling you just they're ridiculous. Like, you're so stupid. And it's like, it's spell everything incorrect. And it's like, awesome.
And you know, they don't talk like that, but you know, they talk like that. You know?
Right. I'm just like, yes.
There was one, my favorite one is this guy was like, man, this guy's bitch ass lives in a trailer park. Why don't you cut my grass or something? That was my, he just said, cut my grass or something. I don't know what that means, but it made me laugh. And that was the banner on my Facebook for a while, was that guy's comment.
That's why I love the fact you take these comments and then you'll retweet a comment with a hilarious smart ass comment on top of it. And that gets 500 likes or 1,000 likes. Just people laughing at you, retweeting people insulting you. Like, and I love it that you own it and you just, you capitalize on that on top of everything.
You know what this is a perfect example of too, is fucking commitment. Like, this is the lesson for every comedian is, and you've always been that way. Oskay too, and Austin, I mean, I love characters and you guys have all done them. But like when you did Coney Danza, the
hot dog comedian.
Yeah, the hot dog comedian.
Love it.
So the very first time I ever saw Coney Danza was at Crackers.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking down at the list and I'm trying to see this person who's before me. And I'm literally going, who the fuck is Corey Danza? What is this shit? And then I turned and Brent's there in a hot dog costume. Okay.
Hot dog outfit. Yeah. And recently, thanks to, you know, not being able to do shows, I've done some of those Zoom shows and I've always had to relearn the jokes because it's so infrequent to do that character. But if you have a tripod, you can just put the jokes underneath the camera. So I've actually kind of gone back and relearned some of those jokes and written new ones. Just for that, you know, I can't really do it anywhere else. What am I going to do as a hot dog doing food puns? It's a small window.
Guys, I got to go out for a second. I don't know. Something playing in my headphones and I can't find where it is on the computer. So keep talking amongst yourselves.
Awesome.
This is professional.
Oh. I'm going to go. No.
For those of you who don't know, now I get my claim to fame. I used to do a little internet show with Brent Terhune, mm-hmm. what, 8-10 years ago?
Like at the very beginning of podcasting, you know, and I was going to school for radio, so we had access to a full real studio, and it was called the Interweb Pod Show. So it was kind of just us talking. And then every week you would have a funny story that made the whole episode.
I don't remember that. But,
I remember that.
I remember it very well because I was one of your guys' biggest fans. I listened to that podcast religiously. I thought it was great.
We talked a lot about, I felt like we talked a lot about comedy and like Holt was way ahead of us at the time. And so I had a lot of questions. I felt like for like new comics, it was a good thing to listen to because you could like find out some of the shit not every other comic would tell you straight up and kind of help get past some of the bullshit that that is stand-up.
That was early on too. Podcasts really weren't out really. I mean, you were putting that out on like a Podbean or something.
Podbean,
that was way back in the day.
Jeff, I remember you had one of your characters debut on the show named Stony McNutt. Do you remember that character?
Yeah, man.
So this was this was a highbrow sort of educational thing.
Oh, yeah, man.
For sure.
We had sound effects, which just Jeff would open the door and then knock on it and then come in as Jeff, air quotes, would leave the room so Stony could walk in.
Oh, yeah.
Very high quality stuff.
Well, it was a small studio. We weren't going to fit Stony and Jeff in at the same time. Like, Jeff had to go wait in the hallway. Like, but then we graduated, so we lost the studio, and then we were just doing it kind of like this in someone's living room around one microphone, and it was like, yeah, I don't want to do this anymore. Like, this sucks going. Like, I mean, honestly, it was like going from driving a fucking Lexus to like taking the bus. Yeah. And it's like, I'd just rather stay home than take the bus.
And now look at it. Everybody can just sit at their own fucking house and it's easy.
Just do this.
Dude, so anyway, congratulations on everything.
Oh, thanks, man.
We've all been fans of you for a long time, just even before. But
I've not gotten to listen to all your shows, too, but I've listened to the Doc Heads, the one about the guy with the collar. I listened and watched those all the way through. I don't remember what that
Evil
Genius.
Yes, yeah. And then Todd, you're 1041, the first season, I think. I think I'm on the last episode, and I just haven't listen to it because I've not been on the road. So now
that's what's happened the podcast period. People are not driving, and that's what, you know what I mean, that's it's everything right now, but except for Joe McHale and Dr. Kim.
Yeah, well, I mean, and that, go ahead and plug your podcast there, Brent.
It's called The Field Trip with Brent Terhune. So Jeff, you've been on a couple episodes. I'd like to have you guys on as well. Nice. Jeff, what did we do, funniest obituaries?
Yeah, that was fun.
And then there was another topic. You wouldn't believe how funny some people are just knowing they're going to die and have a good sense of humor about it. Like, society doesn't have Rick to kick around anymore. That kind of thing. But those are the topics you can expect. My favorite is probably parody religions. So, you know, there's the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster, which is a real air quotes religion, or the Church of Google. That's a thing, apparently. So that kind of thing.
And then you have the Church of Cannabis.
Yes.
That's a real church.
That's a real church. Yeah. I have a buddy that's a member of that.
Don't you just walk in? Like, how do you not be a member? Like, don't they just let you in?
I know. He's a retired cop, too.
They're like, hey, we would love a 10th member. Come on. Come on in to the Church of Cannabis.
Do we know their specific beliefs besides cannabis?
I don't. No. I've never even asked him. I keep thinking I was going to have him on my old podcast, Heartland Radio, and I just never did. But so I was like holding off. I was like, all I want to do is hear about the Church of Cannabis. And it just never happened. So, yeah, I'm dying to learn more because I think he has a pretty big following. I know the one here in Indianapolis does.
Oh, so it's a branch. It's like they got other locations. Sure.
Yeah.
It's a
franchise.
Yeah. It's a franchise.
You order it out of the back high times.
I wonder. The cannabis franchise. But do they have like elders and deacons and stuff like that within the church, like your ranking? Voted on by members, or is that just like
your
too
bros
much work?
And your dudes.
Yeah.
The guy who runs its name is Bill Levin, I believe.
Mm-hmm. I think he's running for governor or has run for governor.
Yeah, I'm friends with him on Facebook.
How'd he do?
Quite well, I bet. Yeah.
Did he do okay?
I'm sure he did great in Indiana.
Oh, for governor? Oh, yeah. I'm sure he got tens of votes.
He got at least third.
Yeah.
No. He could have gotten fifth. Never mind. Sorry, I was gonna say I couldn't remember. There's been a peacock running around somewhere in Indianapolis. They finally caught it.
Really?
But that peacock came in fourth with five more votes than Bill Levin. So,
and that's just going around knocking on doors. That wasn't any ad campaign or anything.
Shit. So, Brent, you don't smoke, right?
No, not you. I'm not opposed to it. Yeah. I'm all for as long.
But you
as
don't you, personally do it, right?
No.
Yeah.
No, I this quarantine has really upped my drinking, and that means going from zero to every once in a while.
Yeah, I saw you drink, I think, one time.
Oske has seen me drink, and we've discussed it on, I think, my podcast, but that was a bottle of watermelon vodka, I believe it was.
Oh, really?
Drink a whole thing.
When I say bottle, I mean the whole bottle, and then it was bad news.
Right, yeah.
And that was the roughest week of my life last week. Yeah, it was. But yeah, I'm not a huge drinker, but not leaving the house, you know, when you weren't even leaving the house, I was like, what else do I have to do? So it kind of turned into The Shining a little bit, but
yeah,
we're back on track.
I mean, I've always been a pretty good drinker, but this is really up my game. Like I have a trouble getting drunk now on beer. Finally, I'm like, I got to start drinking some whiskey, or this is going to go on till tomorrow. So it's how bad it's getting. Like, I drink way too much.
I get this text at least once a week. Hey, on your way home, we're out of mixers. If that tells you how much we're drinking at my house. I've never gotten a text saying, hey, we need dinner. Like, but I have gotten that we're out of mixers. If you're on your way
what
home.
Are these mixers? Are they actual mixers, or is that just what you guys call like Coke or whatever?
Yeah. I'll have a diet mixer.
Mixer, we do a lot of lemonades and simply orange and
juice.
Yeah, lots of juices. Juice. We're juice based drinkers.
Hey, the baby needs a mixer in her cup.
Well, it's hard, man. When it's so hot right now. Like, you go outside. I went out at like 10 this morning, and I was just sitting there, and I was like, I'm not gonna drink yet. I'm gonna be an adult. I'll wait till noon. Wait till I have lunch first. And then I'm just sitting there, and sweat is just, you know, you get that bead of sweat that rolls down your back and then down the back of your pants. And I'm like, all right, fuck it. I have to drink a beer. Like, I can't sweat and not drink beer. That's stupid. You know what I mean? Like,
what were you doing outside? Just sitting?
I go out there to get ready. I had to record a podcast today. So
that's my rule. If I'm not sweating, I can't drink. So I just had to sit in the sauna.
I had to watch a documentary, so now I do it in my bar because I feel like, oh, I'm outside, I'm using the bar, you know, and it was just so fucking hot, though. I got like halfway through, I had to go inside.
Todd, do you think the bar had, I mean, just, this is hypothetical, had anything to do with more drinking going on?
For sure. For sure. It's way more fun than just drinking inside in my stupid house. For sure. Yeah.
Yeah. If you don't know, Brent, Todd and Sean Latham gave Todd's shed a bar makeover, and to the tune of like 4 weeks. And Todd won't tell us how much. My estimate, right around 10 grand for
a little
everything.
Under, but not, that's not a stupid guess.
Brent, for sure. It pretty much looks like the fun bar in an airport. You know what I mean?
Okay,
like,
yeah. I've seen pictures, and I know Sean was involved, so I'm guessing anywhere between $20 and $10,000. I know he's the $20 chef. So.
And we brought Rich Reagans up from Louisville, and the master craftsman that he is. That guy... Here's the thing about Rich Reagans, great comedian from Louisville, very good construction wise. He's got the skills, but man, when he gets distracted, it's all done. You're done for the day. You get him talking about some kind of music he likes or something, and he'll just wander off. And the next thing you know, you're like, "Where's Richie? I don't know." And he's like, "He'll go take a nap. He'll go spin off into a conversation for an hour or two, and then you turn around and he's just gone. He's like our construction guy. Like, we need him." And we're like, "What the fuck?" And he'd be in here sleeping. We're like, "What are you doing, dude? Sleep at night when we can't work." But that's just how he is. You got to get him when you get him.
We had some of those teachers in high school where you know if you're supposed to be in there for geometry, but this guy really loves cars. Yeah. So you just bring up cars, and then that's the rest of the days you didn't learn anything.
Oh, yeah.
Spit
him off course.
Yeah.
Oh, my government teacher. He was a huge Democrat in a very conservative county. So I just bring up, like, I think JFK would have been a Republican if he was around today. And the class was all that. And it's like,
it's over then.
We had a, our history teacher was one of the football coaches. So anytime, so Monday, you were going to recap the game. So that Monday was out. Tuesday, he was usually nursing a hangover. Wednesday, he would start class, and then somebody would be like, hey, do we have any chance of beating Brebeuf this weekend? And he would, like, turn around and, like, like get out the chalk and start drawing out game plans and fucking giving it. Like, if you were a spy for Brebeuf, he gave you the whole game plan, like X's and O's. And then we're going to send Schmidlin around the back and then bah.
You guys would watch film because those who fail to learn from the first quarter are doomed to repeat it.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Have you guys seen the sport Calcio Storico? Could be Calcio. It's Italian. But C-A-L-C-I-O and then Storico, S-T-O-R-I-C-O. Do you know what it is?
We started watching that from the Netflix show, and I skipped it and went to the Highland Games.
Yeah. There's this series on Netflix called Home Game, and it's all these weird sports in different countries that are like big deal sports to them, right? So the first episode is this Calcio Storico. It only happens in Florence, Italy. There's four – Florence is broken up into four regions, and you have to live in that region to play for that team. This sport is like rugby with no rules mixed with MMA if MMA had no rules. And that's one sport. I mean, they have a ball, and the goal is to run to the other end of the field and throw it into this net that's as wide as the whole field and probably was 6 feet high maybe. Looks easy, but that the guy with the ball may not even make a move forward toward the net for like 25 minutes. He'll wait until the lines fight, like regular MMA street fight, until finally there's a hole because either dudes are knocked out from the other team or their guy's got the guy pinned down in a chokehold, and then he'll run toward the goal and he has to get past this last line of defenders to throw the ball in the net. It's the craziest sport I've ever seen in my life.
I pulled up pictures of it, and just the pictures look like MMA fighting in a bull ring.
With a little ball that you throw in a net.
This will be our national sport before Trump's out of office.
And they end up showing like enough highlights. You watch like a better part of a game, and it is awesome. I see why they get into it, but they only have it once a year. And even if you like you win the championship, you only play two games because the dudes are like hurt the rest of the year. Like they're like breaking arms and legs and shit. It's brutal. I mean, it's gladiator day, every bit of what they had then. You know, it's Italy. So it's home of the gladiators. So I kind of get it. You know what I mean?
It's kind of like those guys that do the running of the bulls. Like, you just need it once a year is good.
Right.
Other than that, you're trampled by, you know, bison.
Well, they're going to do like a 30 for 30 on you after you've done your fourth game. You're going to be an icon for the sport.
But they just announced because of COVID, they're not going to have Calcio Storico this year. And people were up in arms over it. And I'm like, how can that be your home sport and you give a fuck about COVID? Like, that makes no sense to me. Those dudes are out there killing each other as sport and you care about catching COVID.
Like, it's not to protect the athletes. I say athletes or whatever.
Sure.
Or is it more of just the entire city?
Yeah.
Come and try to watch it.
Sure. But they have to see this, if your character would love this. It's the pussification of what's going on because you can have the sport. Who cares if nobody goes there? Televise it, right? Same thing with – so it is to protect the players, unfortunately, or they would still have the sport. Like, they can't just stop it at the fans. Same way with football and NBA and all that stuff, you know.
I get, though, when you see the rules of the game, you would think that no one's trying to protect the players. You know what I mean?
There's not like a, there hasn't been a big theme of that. You care if one of them gets COVID. Like, they literally could die at any moment. you know, of a broken neck or whatever. But yeah, I thought it was like interesting.
Dana White needs to bring this to his Fight Island or whatever it is.
He should. He should. I thought it was crazy. And then they have the other, like the Scottish games are pretty. I've seen those before. I'm a big fan of those. They throw the big pole, you know.
Oh, I'd love to do that.
In their lap, and then they toss it end over end.
How close is Dana White to becoming a supervillain with his Fight Island? I feel like secretive tournament on an island is just classic.
I believe that's the beginning to Mortal Kombat, but don't quote me on that.
Down towards back high kick.
Yeah.
That guy's got so much money. I'm just going to buy an island. We'll just have Fight Island. And the fights will happen here. Fuck everybody else. We'll pay-per-view it. Like, he's got to be one of the smartest dudes in the world, I think. Him and...
I would like Prince to see him. Elon Musk and me and Dana White have some kind of billionaire battles.
Right.
I don't know the rules. Obviously, you have to sponsor your own Calcio Storico team or whatever it is. Or it's every kung fu movie where you have to go to the corners of the earth to find the best fighters. And then, you know, then if you lose, then you're put to death in the middle of the ring. And that's incentive to not lose or something.
Absolutely. I just think
go ahead.
Dana White just fighting other successful people, like some sort of comedians in cars getting coffee type thing where you just go there and he asks you questions while beating the shit out of you.
Yeah.
Would be pretty entertaining.
He's so hilarious in interviews because he just gives zero fucks. Like always has, though. Even before he had the money, he talked that way in interviews. That's what I like about him. But you know what's scaring me right now, and I tweeted this in fun, but it's actually kind of true, is there are so many carnies out of work right now. I feel like that's going to be a problem. You know what I mean? Do you have that many carnies? When a carny, they get together and they're all desperate at the same time, some bad shit's going to happen. They have no Halloween houses to work in the fall. They got no state fairs or county carnivals to work in the freaking summer. Some bad shit's going to happen.
Has there been a carny documentary of that lifestyle done yet?
No, it should be.
Off season?
It goes from carnival season to end of the fall, then you're probably working Halloween and then Christmas and then maybe have a few months off before it gets warm. I think they all literally go to Florida. There's a city where they're known to like hang out.
Wait, there's Kissimmee. A carny city in Florida? Yeah. That makes so much sense.
They're like gypsies or Irish travelers. Florida. It makes so much sense. There should be, like, it would be every bit as entertaining as Tiger King was. I mean, these people, come on.
It'd be like a mobile Tiger King or Wonderful Whites of West Virginia.
Yeah. Kind of a hybrid of the two.
Look at Tiger King. That's basically just a carnival without the, you know, the get up and go. It's just a carnival without any hustle basically what he's running.
And they were kind of on the road doing that mall tour with tigers.
Yeah. So at one point in time, they were a traveling circus or carnival, really.
I mean, and they did go to the Anderson Mall, Mounds Mall.
That's right. You were there.
I was like, I want to pay, but I don't have money because I'm poor. But I went to pet a baby tiger.
Man, dude, I grew up with a dude who became a carny. That was his life choice, and he was like 2 grades behind me, and his brother was in my grade. And I played little league with this dude. Like my dad always had to give him rides to practices, so I know him pretty well. And then you know, you catch up with people a few years after high school. And he was living this carny life, you know, and he was awful proud of it, man. He was telling you about all the places he'd been, you know, and all the rides. He was moving his way up in the rides, like he's running the Tilt-A-World now or whatever.
Next week, it's a zipper if I play my cards right.
Oh, yeah.
And then I didn't see him, you know, for some time. And then I saw his brother, and I'm like, hey, Dale, how's your brother Tom? And he's like, how's the carny business? And he's like, oh, well, guy's head blown off in a Russian roulette contest. And I was like, what?
What?
True story. Yeah. I was like, wow, well, that makes so much sense. Okay.
What?
Yeah. Hey, don't get all fucking scared of somebody getting shot playing Russian roulette. That's the carny lifestyle, guys.
Well, he was using a 45 automatic, so what did he expect?
You can't shift rounds in that magazine, bub.
That's like a weird, there's got to be like an underground fight club around Carney's too. I can imagine.
I kind of was proud of him for a moment because he had some awesome stories and he's still young. You're like,
oh, he still has 24. An awesome story.
Yeah.
That's the most awesome story I've ever heard. Right. So he wins.
Oh, buddy.
Did you ever have any of those stories, Todd, of, you know, being a cop, like Russian roulette stories besides that one?
No, I've never, like, I've only seen it in movies and stuff. I didn't know people really did it. And that's why he threw me out. I'm like, what? And he was like, oh, yeah, I guess they played it all the time after they tore down the tents at night, whatever. I'm like, oh, my God.
Play ring toss.
Well, for like money. I mean, they would, it's like gambling, right? They would, you like, have you seen that movie, the Russian roulette movie, where they, it's like an underground circuit or whatever. And they, you know, they, I assume you can make a lot of money at it if you're really good. You're really good. It's pretty much all luck, though, Jess. I don't want to ruin it for you. There's no skill. But
the veterans are amateurs.
Yeah.
Not like the Price is Right wheel you have to spin to hit the 100.
Do you think they rig the gun like they do the rest of the games?
Well, you know, like, you know, if you play it right and you play it long enough, one of you's gonna get their head blown off, right? But I guess the idea is somebody always backs out before it gets that far.
So I mean, because that's one where it's like there's no real strategy, you just kind of luck of the draw, right? I mean,
yeah, you just, because you spin the chamber, you don't know when that one round's going to be.
I didn't even think you could not go through with it. Yeah. That didn't even dawn on me as an option. Every time I see it in a movie or show, the guy has to do it.
Right. Theirs is a little more civilized, Austin. They can, it gets four rounds in there.
I know. It's four empty rounds. Russian, they can be like, hey. It's not some weird,
it's not some drug fueled
crazy murder game at all. It's a refined experience.
Yeah, meth and what? Yeah, everything involved. What a crazy lifestyle! I gotta turn that off.
I can't imagine playing Russian roulette and what got you to that point. I mean, what has to go wrong for you to be doing that?
Where that was your thrill, like because sports betting wasn't good enough.
Every time you smoke the reefer, it's like you're playing Russian roulette. It could be your last time.
Very offensive to Russian roulette players, by the way. A small minority, but offensive nonetheless.
Christ. Bowers,
I can see some of those carnies making some penetration into the regular job market, though, too. You know what I mean? Like, they have skills that we could use.
And a good work ethic. I mean, those are shitty hours.
And it's
and
hot.
Shitty conditions.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the ones that I was aware of that would come to the Rush County Fair, they didn't care how old you were. They'd still, like, skis on you. And you'd be, like, 9 years old. And it's like, I don't know what you want from me, mister. And, like, you want this teddy bear? It just got weird.
Jesus.
You got to wait till she's at least 4 feet tall. You're disgusting.
Yeah, step up to this little man with his hand sticking out, and let's see how tall you is.
Oh, so gross.
You got to be this tall to ride this ride.
If you can ride the Alpine Bobs, you can bob this dick. Sorry.
Jesus.
What carnival were you at? What was it? Was the sign say worst carnival ever?
Have you ever been to Rush County? Yeah, Rush County, Indiana. It's pretty. Yeah.
Hey, we are delightful. We are the only county that didn't have, like, the KKK or whatever. So, looking at you, Shelby.
That sounds like a claim of a county that had a ton of KKK.
I'm not saying back in the day, there's probably some racist turds there for sure. But not an official.
You just had pedo carnies.
Hey, they came to our town for a while and then they rolled out, you know, when the time came.
Oh my God.
Their whole life has turned the page.
I was trying to think of it. Oh God.
Jeff, did you spend your childhood going to those Catholic festivals?
Oh God, yeah.
Yeah, I did too.
That's what I was going to ask is, like, do they start out at festival? And then, or do you start out at, like, Walmart parking lot and then work your way into the festival circuit, like get on the Catholic circuit where you're just hitting all the churches in the Midwest and, you know, on the coast and shit?
I think there's a Catholic circuit.
Yeah, there has to be.
Yeah, because every church has one. I mean,
holy shit.
Look how many Catholic churches are.
I totally forgot about this.
Those things are great, though, too. I live near St. Joan of Arc. Uh-huh. And they have a big thing every year.
Yeah.
They're great until you go to St. Joseph's in Shelbyville, Indiana, and the parking lot's like the size of my driveway, and somehow they cram all that shit into it. It was like the parking lot was like the size of a tennis court, and the whole thing was crammed in there. It was ridiculous. Yeah.
I remember the actual group that came to the schools I went to, and it's I don't know if I should say it on the podcast, but I pulled up their website, Poor Jack Amusements.
Yes.
And they have their events listed. So there's two, so you could theoretically follow this carnival around and ride the same rides in different locations if you wanted to.
Nice. I always thought I would want to try it for a couple of years.
My dad was on the festival committee. And so they got tired of losing all this money on their games to the carny games. So my dad, and I'm not... My dad built his own carny games to compete with Poor Jack's carny games. And we were only allowed to spend our money at the nativity booths. We weren't allowed to spend our money at the Poor Jack booth because the Poor Jack money didn't go to nativity. That went to Poor Jack. But the money. So my dad actually made like a booth with like a like metal shooting targets that you would shoot with like a cork gun. And he made like a skee ball ramp and a couple other games. And they were homemade games. You know what I mean? Like my dad's an engineer. They look nice, but they look like a dude built them in his garage. And those were the only games we were allowed to play. But I always wanted to play that quarter push game where you like drop the quarter in, that you got the bulldozer that's pushing the Rolex watch closer and closer to the...
Just one more coin. It's going to fall. Yeah,
One more.
I worked a burglary crew. That's what they targeted specifically. They hit places that had that game of chance, the coin drop game. And I'm like... Probably the stupidest criminals I've ever chased in my life. I mean, literally made their career out of, I don't know, they'd get $89. You know what I mean? I'm like, Jesus Christ. The watches aren't real, guys. You know,
we're doing
like,
laundry tonight, boys. did you catch them?
Yeah, we caught them. They were a mess, too.
He walked into the wool fabric softener when you them. Yeah.
He walked into Walmart and goes, hey, has anyone been buying a lot of coin rolls lately? And they're like, yeah, this one dude's buying them by the case every week. All right, cool. Can we get his name?
There's three guys in ski masks at the Coinstar right now.
Well, Oscar, I don't know how your dad didn't get jumped by the Poor Jack guys or whatever. Yeah.
Carney Mafia?
Yeah, there's like, why are you coming out of our territory?
Dude, if you saw my dad, nobody's jumping that dude. It's terrifying.
Of course not. He builds his own carnival games.
Dude, I loved it though. Like we got to have cork guns like in our in the garage like for a month while my dad was getting the game set up. So we loved it. We thought it was awesome.
I always wondered how there was never I've never heard of like a carny serial killer. How has that ever never happened?
There has to be.
Has to be one, right?
Yeah.
I remember trying to Google it one day and I couldn't find it because I thought, well, that'd be a cool story to tell. There has to have been a carny who just went around killing at the different areas that he traveled to.
The Save-A-Lot parking lot killer.
Yeah.
If you put it on the map, it's a whole bunch of Save-A-Lots that had carnivals in it in the last 6 months.
Todd, I can see that being some sort of defensive factoid that every carny puts out.
Right.
There's never been a carny serial killer. You know that?
Did you guys ever when my favorite part about the festival was the gambling rooms?
Mm-hmm.
And like I could go in as like a fifth grader and put down $20 and play blackjack. They didn't give a shit how old you were. Like it was great. Yeah. I loved it. And then come to find out, like they had to start having officers at the different things because people were coming and holding up the gambling rooms at church festivals. And they also have huge like groups that come in and, you know, mark cards and dice and everything else to rip. Like how low are you that you're scheming on a church that's scheming on its parishioners, that's scheming on kids? Yeah. Never mind.
I was going to say, our priest embezzled all our money. He got caught. He embezzled like $750,000 in this little tour there.
Oh, my gosh.
Spent it all in Vegas. He had a big gambling issue, I guess.
His name Mike Gardner? Was it Pastor Gardner?
I just remember Father John. He married my son's mom and I, and he's a little Filipino dude, and you couldn't understand anything he said during the ceremony. But he reminded me of the preacher in was it Princess Bride? Where he's like Maui, yeah, like that guy. I should have got a free annulment, I think, by the way. If he's going to break the law, boom.
Yeah.
Revoke the priesthood. You can't trust this guy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I didn't.
What was his game, did they say?
Blackjack. Blackjack and what's the Baccarat or whatever the hell that is? The
Baccarat.
Yeah.
The game of the rich.
Yeah.
Did you say he was Filipino?
Yeah.
Because I think, isn't that a big game over in Asia?
Yeah, Baccarat? I think so. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a big, big scandal there. All our priests would get in trouble, but we never had any of the other kind.
Did they
trouble.
Just move him to a different casino, or what'd they do?
Yeah.
He runs a small gaming room in Columbus, Ohio, out of Knights of Columbus right now.
They go to the, I know they always avoid, used to anyway, probably not anymore, avoid prosecution by going to the priest re-education programs in California, where they would send all the priests that got in trouble. That's quite a good time, that resort, I'm sure.
So speaking of priests, Terhune, you grew up Catholic. You did the whole 12 years of Catholic school. Now that you're all famous and shit, have any of your old Catholic school cohorts like looked you up and been like, hey, I saw your videos. Like, oh, it looks like you're turning into something.
Looks like you turn against the Lord. not really, because with Facebook and stuff, that it's so weird how you don't even have to look up people. You're like, you know, nobody's ever like, what happened to Robbie? You're like, oh, yeah, he's working that shit job. Like, as everybody knows, you know? We all kind of know what each other are doing. So I've not had anybody, like, come out of the woodworks or anything. Because at the end of the day, it's not – I mean, I'm just me, guys, okay? But no. Nobody's, like, come out of the – yeah, I don't think so. I mean –
You haven't got any. Yeah. Hey, do you want to go do comedy at the Fairland Fish Fry?
I was getting that before all the videos. Nice. And especially because now is really things are really taking off during, you know, coronavirus. It's not like I could do a show anyway. But I've had some of those weird shows where they're like, it's always like, yeah, my friend has a place. And whenever that they say that, I'm like, oh, yeah, email me. But in my head, I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. No. You mean with no sound system and all the TVs on and everything wrong about the place?
Right.
Then you're going to see the show and that it sucks. And then that's all you're going to talk about me for the rest of my life was how I bombed at the Howlin' or whatever the place you own.
Oh, Brent says he's doing comedy. Thought.
Yeah,
that's always my worst fear, even though you know you're good, like, but I'm gonna go to this horrible environment at your little fish fry or whatever, and I'm gonna eat a dick in front of everybody I grew up with. Not doing it. Like, you guys will talk about that forever, and a lot of you, that's the only time you'll ever see me. Like, just come to a real place, I promise. Yeah. it's fun there, like, but no fish fry.
Or that you do it at a legitimate venue and they're like, can you get us tickets? I mean, maybe, but not free. Like, I'm going to give them to my friends, not the guy that's just like, hey, man, can I get... No, I don't know you.
Right.
I don't know if you understand how I get paid, but it's by you handing me your money. And when I put you on the list, I don't get paid. That's how that works. That comes out of my check, not the boss.
Yeah. But
that comes out of my shit.
I think everything's going to be dead till 2021. I just, all the funny bones and improvs just pulled their dates.
That's kind of, I was checking websites to see if they were like still going. So I'm not really booking anything for this year anyway, because it'll probably get moved.
Yeah. That's why, mine got moved like three times with them. And then finally it's like, we're just going to put it back in 2021. We'll just revisit it into 2021. I'm like, all right, good. It's better than you just every month. Hey, we're going to move it back to the next month. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just fucking say you're done.
It looks like some of the outdoor shows are doing decent, I guess. I hate performing outdoors, so I'm in no hurry to get on that stage anytime soon. But, I mean, for those of you, those people that need that that money and stage time, I think they're digging it.
I would rather do a stream show than I would an outdoor show.
Yeah, at least you don't have to leave your house, you know?
Yeah.
One of the last shows I did before, you know, coronavirus was at a resort. And I get there and it's a campground. And there we have to wait for everybody to finish playing bingo under the shelter before they come to the stage. And there are no chairs. So what they do every year is everybody sits on their four-wheelers and golf carts. And you perform there, and we are supposed to do two shows, and they're like, be clean, because there are kids and old people. So there's literally like 6-year-olds running around to like 80, and it's like pitch black in the audience, and you can tell when somebody doesn't like the show because you see headlights turn on a four-wheeler, and then it start up. Nice. And they're not quick about exiting. They're just talking to each other like, I'll see you back at the campsite.
All right.
I thought comedy's supposed to be funny. Like,
how you just invite them on stage. Like, you come here, sir. Come here, Ralph. You try it.
No, that's the worst thing you can do is give an audience member a microphone. Fuck those guys.
Yeah.
How many people were at this show, Terhune?
Probably like 50, and we're supposed to do two shows. And they're like, yeah, we'll just cycle in the next audience. But then nobody left. So it was the same audience. So we had to go back up and be clean, and that, like, you would do a joke and they're like, be clean. And then the audience members would be like, fucking A, like, they're just dirtier than you.
There's one person at the venue who wanted it clean. Everybody else wanted the real show. Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, it was my friend Kevin who booked it, and he's a really funny comic, but he has the stick. He's a blind guy. He has the stick to walk around. And he goes up first to host, and they're heckling the blind guy.
Oh, jeez.
So you can see how it went. Yeah. And I would go back if they asked me.
I did an outdoor gig last year as a fundraiser up in Delphi with Jeff Bodart and Greg Warren. And and it was like on a stage that was like a flatbed truck that like folded down into a stage kind of thing, like a box truck that had a stage inside of it that folded out.
Supplied by Carney's, I'm sure.
Yeah, and we're supposed to take the stage at like 7. Well, we get there at like 6:30, and they're on the program of, I don't know, 3:30 in the afternoon. Like, they're 4 hours behind on their schedule, and there's like 3 musicians that still need to play before we go up and do our thing. And this is, I don't know who this fucking asshole was, but he went up and he insisted on doing his entire 45-minute set on his guitar. Like, he was not, he didn't give a shit that we were behind schedule by 4 hours. He was not going to come off his time to save. So by the time we got up there, yeah, it's pitch black, but I had a few jokes that didn't go over, and I heard actual fucking crickets. Like in nature, like, it was the weirdest, funniest thing, as I just sat there in dead silence and I went, oh my god, actual crickets, this is fucking great.
Oscar, were you on that show that Stites threw out at that winery that one time?
Was it outside?
It was outside.
It sounds familiar.
Down toward Bloomington, Indiana.
Oliver?
No, it was, not even a good winery, by the way. It was like a knockoff Oliver. But I did it, and Stites was supposed to headline it, and then I was supposed to just MC it, and then there was a feature, right? 3-man show. And we get there, and there's like 8 people, and they're so spread out. There's 2 people in a lawn chair closest to the stage, and they were like 40 feet from the stage. And there were 2 people over here in a lawn chair about 60 feet away, and the rest of the people were spread out like 2 to a car, like 8 people total. Half of them were in cars. And I'm like, Jesus Christ. So Stites shows up, And he goes to look what's going on. He comes back and he goes, all right, I'm not going to perform. So you guys just did a two-man show. He's like, Todd, you're going to feature. And whoever this was, headline, I can't remember who it was. And it was the worst thing I've ever done in my life. You're supposed to be clean. And you could hear, like, little kids would run and just cross the little meadow that you were performing in front of and then run off into the trees again. Like, every 5 minutes, here come a new pair of little kids just doing their own thing. And nobody else is paying a fuck attention to anything. And you're just talking to no one. Like, and they were probably the youngest people there. I don't even know who belonged to these little kids, because there was no one watching the show under 80 years old. Not a one.
Oh, jeez.
The worst thing I've ever done in my life. And ever since then, I had this, like, fear of performing outside. I'm sure there's better experiences, but, you know, it just stained my soul. Like, I'm never going to do outside again.
That's one of those where I would have just looked at the other comic and been like, you going to bail? Let's bail. Let's bail. And then just leave. If you weren't counting on the money, if there was no money, I'd just be like, we're going. Don't tell anybody. That's what right. I would have
thought. I had a show last year that at showtime there were zero people in the thing. The guy's like, let's give it a half an hour. I'm like, okay, well, if no one's here yet, nobody's fucking coming. So at showtime, there were two people. And he goes, all right, let's do this shit. And I'm like, fuck you. I'm not doing this shit. You can't pay me enough. You aren't paying me because right. I'm on a door deal. And give these people back their money and fucking let's leave. Yeah. And so I walked up to the people. I go, hey, I'm not doing this show. And they're like, thank God. That would have been so awkward. So we did not want to sit here and just have the three of us. So I'm like, thank God. Here, I'm never coming back to your town again, but thanks for coming out. I appreciate the support. Here's a CD. Let's get the fuck out of here.
Please tweet that I killed.
Yeah.
Let's take Sold a selfie real show. Quick. Yeah.
I did a show with a mutual friend of ours, DJ Dangler, and it was a Halloween festival. And we get there, and it turns out we were supposed to do a set at like 4:30, and nobody said anything. We thought it was like nighttime shows. But we're outside on the lawn of the courthouse under a tent. And the first night we're on stage and they don't have a mic. They have the lapel mic that we're just holding by our mouth. And I'm on stage and it's like Friday night, you know, and the high school band starts marching down the street. Behind me while I'm on stage. So all I can do is just acknowledge that there's a full high school band behind me. Then the other night it was literally like eight people, and there was some kind of group. They brought these people out, and they're all like paraplegic. I don't mm-hmm. quadriplegic, like handicapped in chairs. And they're all sitting in the back, so we're trying to perform for them, but they're not giving us anything. and then there's like a guy that's like clapping. And again, we have to be clean. So it's not, right. You already cut out some of the jokes. I had to do a certain amount of time. And then it was just like little kids running in and out. And it was just the two best gigs I've ever done in my life.
I'm almost to the point now where someone says, but you have to be clean. It just is a deal breaker right away. Mm-hmm. Just because I know more often than not, your venue is not going to be ready for comedy. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, this is different if it's like a big deal fundraiser or something, you have some understanding. But if it's just somebody trying to throw like a regular kind of show and they say, but we want it clean, it'd be like,
yeah,
you should just not do a comedy show. You know what I mean? Because you have no idea what you want, and this is not going to be set up conducive for having a comedy show, I promise you.
Or it's like what you said, Todd, where the one gatekeeper is in charge of everything and they're so worried about losing their job that they're like, we need you to be clean. And then afterwards, inevitably, there's a show where somebody walks up and they're like, man, we were waiting on you to cut loose.
I know. It's so weird. You're like, oh, I wanted to.
I wish I could have cut loose, sir. But
can you call him out on stage and be like, well, I was told I have to keep it clean. So, and then if the audience is like, boo, be yourself, you're like, eh?
Yeah. And that.
And then.
I've done that before.
Peer pressure?
and the whole audience was like, Yeah, because I go, were you guys wanting a clean show? Because this wasn't working out. And I'm like, and they're like, no. They started bitching about it. And then I said, but she said this is going to be a clean show. And they were like, looked at her, and she was like, it is going to be a clean show. And
I was
oh, yeah,
here we go. Now I know the dynamic.
I'll do a clean show, but I'm going to put a one on in front of whatever I normally ask for money-wise.
yeah, right.
If I'm going to do it, I'm getting fucking paid for it. I'm not.
Yeah, if I'm going to be miserable, it's going to pay very well.
Corporate. Or just do the same joke, but just say, hey, instead of this, I'm going to use this word, like meatloaf.
Right. I don't mind doing a clean show always. You know, it's not my normal set by any means, but I can do an hour clean. But it's the fact that you're demanding it, right? Like most times a crowd, if as long as you're being funny, won't even realize if you're being clean or dirty. I mean, they're just enjoying themselves. But when it comes with that expectation, just something about it bothers me because I feel like the dynamic's going to suck. I'm just walking into something that they don't know what they're doing, you know?
Well, it's like if they're like, hey, here's all your tools, but don't use a hammer.
Right.
We don't like hammers here. Yeah. Like, I wasn't going to use the hammer, but I would also like the opportunity to use this hammer if I wanted to.
Right. It's possible.
Yeah. Like, you don't have the ability to shift gears if what you're doing is not working. You just, we got one track here, one lane. That's it.
Austin, what's your best outdoor gig?
Oh, man. I think I've...
Or just horrible gig.
Oh, well, outdoor gigs, I haven't really done too many, and they've always been like kind of just a long comedy ongoing train, so the crowd knew what was going on.
Oh, like a festival or something?
Yeah, but worst gigs ever would be, did a show for four people, two of whom were like blackout drunk. So that was very special. It was two couples, did not know each other, and each one of them had one of their spouses just hammered ass drunk. And they got sat right next to each other. I thought they were a group, and they weren't. And so about halfway through our show, they start arguing with each other. The two women started going at it. So that kind of, we're like, oh, this is kind of crazy. So we wrapped it up. I think the headliner ended up doing 5 minutes because these couples were literally screaming at each other.
And it was the women that were drunk, right? The women were drunk?
One of the women was drunk. So the drunk woman was being a problem, and the sober woman was yelling at her. It was Yeah. And then the week after that, do a show for six people in Ohio, and it was three brothers with their wives, and they all had beards that were different lengths depending on where they were in like the age of the bird. Redneck three little bears.
Like cell phone bars for beards.
Yeah, exactly. So that was pretty, they were actually a bad crowd. Six people. I've done worse. I've had worse crowds of 100 people, you know.
Is there any better feeling than when you do a show for like six, maybe eight people, and it just goes fucking awesome? Don't you feel better about those shows than if it were 400 people that loved every second of it?
It's a new challenge, you know?
Yeah. It's just something that feels different about it. I'm like, oh, that's really cool.
It depends on if I'm featuring or if I'm headlining. If I'm headlining, I'm usually really upset that there's only six people there.
Because it affects
the whole time I'm like, well, I'm never getting booked back here again. But if I'm featuring and it's not my fault, I don't give a fuck. I have a fun time with it. But if my name's on the marquee and there's only six people in the crowd, it's a rough night for Jeffy.
That's true. I didn't think about that because it comes with the pressure of you were supposed to bring people.
Yeah. Even though I've never been to Ottawa, Michigan. Yeah, it's all up to me to pack this fucking place.
It's always like, oh, you should have been here last week, man. But this week, they're letting everybody get their boats out this weekend or something.
Well, it's the T-ball parade tomorrow, and so everybody likes to get a good night's rest because they get up early the next day.
I opened for the Impractical Jokers, who, like, full disclosure, I just met them briefly, but they were super nice. But I was supposed to do 10 minutes and, you know, in this big theater of like 2,500 people. And no, you know, the marquee says Impractical Jokers. It does not say Impractical Jokers and Brent Terhune. Nobody cared. So I walk out on stage And I'm like, hey, everybody, thanks for being here. And then somebody goes, you suck.
Just right away.
Yeah. So then I had to do the 10 minutes. And I think I recovered okay. But it was like, and they were like, you got to be clean. And I was just scared of not, I didn't want to say anything. And I'm not dirty anyway, but
it wasn't
like I could have slammed that guy and then gone on with my set. Now I would have done it because it wouldn't have mattered, you know, but yeah, that's one of my favorite stories because it sucked, but it was also, if I was that guy's friend, I'd be like, dude, you're so funny. Like, I'm that
guy. Derek zinged the fuck out of this comedian. Yeah.
You should have seen him, man. He didn't even get into his jokes. He just let him have it. The crowd was loving it too, man. The crowd was like, yeah.
Jokers. I felt like I was on that show, actually.
Well, this has been fun, man. Come back anytime, Brad. I know you're really busy, but obviously you're always welcome.
Yeah, I'd love to come back, and I love all your other shows, guys. I haven't listened recently because, like I said, not being in the car, but when I was, that was in the rotation.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, dude. Couldn't be happier for you. You're killing it. Everybody, if you don't by chance know who Brent Terhune is, you can find him on all social media at Brent Terhune, BrentTerhune. And you'll see what we're talking about because he's crushing it. It's the smartest. The brilliant thing about it is we explained earlier what the character's about, but it only works because the writing behind it is so fucking smart. That's the only way that shit works, right?
Yeah, so. And my website is Infowars.net, I-N-F-A-U-X, Wars.net, which is a real domain that I bought. You can go to BrentComedy.com, but Infowars.net is much funnier.
Awesome. All right, anything else? Thanks so much, man. I look forward to seeing what's going to happen next. It gets bigger every day and, dare I say, better. So I think sky's the limit, man. Couldn't happen to a more talented and nicer dude.
Thank you guys for having me on.
And a hardworking motherfucker.
Yeah.
The hardest. Yeah. You're one of the hardest working dudes in the business, and I totally respect that about you. And you're good people there, Brent Terhune.
Thank you, guys.
Good people. All right, check him out, and maybe he'll come back one day. Other than that, we'll see you next week. We're out.